All right, let's go to the StreamYard Maker Hotline, and we're going to talk to host the Parrot Talk Show here on the Crusade Radio Network, Mike Parrot, who moonlights, or used to moonlight anyway, as a movie producer of sorts. Those of you that have heard of the film that's out, that a lot of people are talking about, Cabrini, then, well, you're about to learn a little bit more about the Cabrini film than you knew when you woke up this morning, and you may even be inspired to go out and see it. Mr. Parrot, how do you say, how do you pronounce this? B-O-O-M-E-R.
I don't know what word that means.
There's an inside joke going on here between him and his kind of sometimes co-host or Alberto. They're not allowed to say the password is boomer. They're not allowed to say you caught Alberto yesterday and went you almost said it. You almost said it.
I did. Well, because it's a lifestyle choice. It's like boosters. You know, it's like getting the booster is a lifestyle choice. It's a way of living.
Well, I am the boomer in chief. If you ever do say it, I'm just going to chime in and I'm going to go, I'm your Huckleberry.
Oh, gosh.
It's funny that Kennedy used to be on the Crusade Radio Network. Had a real hang up about this, and he had to call me one day for tech support because he is a technical oaf. And I'm like, well, did you plug it in? And he goes, of course I plugged it in. Okay.
See, it's not a generational thing. It's a way of living.
That's right. And I said, and you had the nerve to make fun of me and call me a Zoomer to your buddies? And he goes like, yeah, the Zoomer bailed me out. Then he called me the GOAT. So, all right, since you called me the GOAT and the Zoomer, I'll let you go. In any event, just a little inside baseball there. Mike, not a lot of people know that you are or were one of the producers of the film Cabrini. Now, I knew this. Do you remember? I interviewed you you were in a hotel room in Buffalo.
Yes.
And the actor, I'm trying to remember the actor's name, was it from Argentina or Brazil? What was his name?
Well, it was the producer, and he is Colombian.
He was with you, and this is, 4 years ago? Is it 2020?
It was 2021. Yeah, it was a while ago.
And I interviewed you, and we were talking about you were then in pre-production or had just started production on the film Cabrini. Now, whose idea was it to write the screenplay?
Well, the original idea came from the man who financed the movie. This is the largest independent produced film of all time. It's larger than The Passion. It's larger than anything that's ever been done by a completely independent non-Hollywood studio. And this particular man has done very well in his life, and he attributes his success to Mother Saint Cabrini.
That in and of itself is a incredible story here, especially since today is Maundy Thursday. It's the Thursday in Holy Week, and her feast day was just recently here. So we celebrated Mother Cabrini. Most people listening probably don't know an awful lot about the life of Mother Cabrini. And one of the things I told you in the interview that we did in 2021 was that if you go to Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Norco, Louisiana, if you walk inside the church through the narthex, and when you go into the actual sanctuary, if you look to your right, you'll see a statue of Mother Cabrini. And if you look at the base of the statue, you will say, thank you for the patronage of Dennis and Claudia Gomez. And Dennis and Claudia Gomez were my great-grandparents. And so I have a direct connection. My great-grandmother, she went to a Cabrini school when she was a little girl. And so she had a lifelong devotion to Mother Cabrini. So this is a woman that impacted people from New York all the way to New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she had a huge impact. Her national shrine is in Denver. When she was canonized as the first American saint, her canonization was celebrated in Soldier Field in Chicago. There are schools, hospitals, orphanages, institutions of charity named after her. Dotting the Eastern Seaboard and all the way down to New Orleans. She came down to New Orleans, I believe, because there were some Italians that were being wrongfully executed down there. And she came down to try to intervene, which would have been her foray into Louisiana politics at the time. This is all happening before email, before, the motor vehicle. I mean, she this is a woman who suffered from post-tubercular lung disease her entire life. Her constitution was so weak that she was dismissed from three different orders. They said, oh, you're not strong enough to be a nun. So she founded her own. The fact that there's even a Mother Cabrini, anything in New Orleans is remarkable.
So let me fill a gap in here in history. I just happen to know a little bit about this. So the execution or this was a slaughter. There were there was an Italian who was accused of killing an Irishman and of murdering an Irishman, and the trial happened, and the Italian was acquitted. Shortly thereafter, the then sheriff of New Orleans, or Orleans Parish then, whose name was O'Reilly, he earned the nickname Bloody O'Reilly. O'Reilly disagreed with the verdict. He rounded up a mob of Irishmen who then went and rounded up a gathering of Italians. And right across from the Cabildo, they hanged 11 of them. It was either double digits, either 10, 11, or 12. And they hanged him as retribution for the killing of the Irishman, who I believe was a cop. And again, the sheriff then earned the nickname Bloody O'Reilly and just stuck with him. Mike, this event was so profound. This is what caused President Harrison to look for an Italian that he could name, that he could honor, and he ultimately decided on Christopher Columbus. And this is how we got Columbus Day, because he wanted the outreach to Italian American immigrants. Did you know that?
I did not know any of that. I knew about the lynch mob.
Yep.
And you're right, it was 11 folks, and this would have been at the end of the 1890s or so.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, that's correct.
Columbus Day is great. I think Columbus is a saint personally. So, I mean, but that may be a separate topic, but.
Okay. And we're talking with Mike Parrott, who was one of the producers on the film Cabrini. Now, there's a personal reason why I wanted to talk with you about this. And it has everything to do with you and your family and what happened to you at the hands of a certain website, which was known as Church Militant. And I was trying to explain to people who are like, why does Parrott do this? Why go after Nazi Nouns? Why does it? I'm like, you guys don't understand what that woman, and we're not going to rehash this, but it gives me a chance to help you explain this. You don't understand of what that woman took from this man. He worked on the film. His wife is in the film. His children are extras in the film. They moved to freaking Buffalo, one of the worst places on earth, to shoot the film. They dedicated their lives to this, and the producers, who were the co-producers with Mike, to preserve the film from the scandal, asked you to leave. Am I right?
Yeah, you pretty much have the story right. I mean, we did get the film done, and I even went to Rome and set up the shots that had to happen in Rome. I was the number three producer on the film. If you would have seen an earlier cut of the film, you would have seen that I had my own card at the beginning of the credit roll. So it was written by, produced by, you know, Leo Severino, Jonathan Sanger, and executive in charge of production, Mike Parrott. I lost that.
Yes.
They took that away to protect the film. And the reason why is because, look, a very, very right-wing, very popular website, he decided to go after me for personal reasons. And when you are an independent film producer and you're trying to sort of like remain underground in Hollywood and as a practicing Catholic and a conservative yourself, you don't want to be doxxed, by anybody, let alone somebody who's allegedly supposed to be on your side. So we did. I ended up losing my ownership in our production company, and for the good of future films too. We were working with Mel Gibson in North Carolina actually the moment that this happened, And I didn't know how long it would last. So I said, hey, guys, I'm just going to leave for a little bit. Let's let this blow over. Everybody agreed. Didn't know it was going to take 2 years. Didn't know that, you know, that I would never go back to it.
So when many of you had questions, why did TKD stick with Parrot? Why this, why that? Because I knew what actually happened. And this guy, yeah, he told you some of the story. He didn't tell you the whole story. So because I knew, I was assured ultimately that the truth would come out. And I knew, prayerfully I knew what the outcome was going to be. And it ought to trouble everyone that, so Mike basically was canceled. For all practical intents and purposes, you were canceled by Voris and Niles. And this is why, when he talked about this on air, why he had the complete and total disdain and disgust for these people that he did, and he does have. We don't, again, we don't need to rehash that, but it just gives me an opportunity, because a lot of you guys are out there going, this Cabrini movie is really good. And then there are some people that have some hang-ups about it. But know that Mr. Parrot here lived, slept, ate, and breathed Cabrini for a couple of years of his life, and now gets no credit unless somebody like me asks him about it. And so I wanted just to be able to tell that part of the story right here on the Crusade Radio Network. Now, let's talk about the complaints, all right? Let's talk about Tradistan's hang-ups. Now, for those of you listening down in our affiliate stations out there across the amber waves of Biden's reclamation, you have to know that just like in Protestantism, there are sects in Catholicism, just like there are in Protestantism. One of the more vocal sects these days, and it might be the most vocal, are these people that fancy themselves as traditional Catholic. Now, it's not coincidental that that's me. That's our wonderful producer, Maggie. That's Richard Barrett. And it also happens to be Mike Parrott and the Parrott family here. So when others who fancy themselves as these traditional Catholics start coming out and savaging your work and, you know, basically telling people don't go see it, it'll ruin your life, it'll ruin your day, they blew this, they didn't get this right. You know, you went on with the guy from Catholic Family News, and I thought that was a heroic interview, and went, okay, well, ask me your questions, and I'll answer them. So is there anything that during the CFN interview that you didn't get out that you wish to get out now about the whole thing?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. I mean, look, I think that everybody will agree that the film is a work of art.
Okay.
That it is cinematically beautiful, that probably it is competitive for very serious awards from the perspective of acting and cinematography and sound and lighting and effects and everything. I think that the story is well told, because it tells the story of a woman whom no one really knows, but is actually very significant to the history of these United States. You know, the hangups that people had about the film, well, they think that, you know, it's not religious enough. I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, we have a nun as the freaking main character and her order, and we have her asking the Pope permission to do things, and the second main character is the Archbishop of New York. So I don't know how it could be more Catholic, but I guess that's one of the things. And then the other thing that people say is, well, you made her out to be too feminist. And my response to that has been that, you know, if you believe that Mother Cabrini was a feminist, you just have never met an Italian nun before, because they're very pushy.
Yes.
And they just know how to get stuff done. So
and they have to get things done. If they don't get things done, the kids don't eat.
Yeah, this is life and death. But yeah, I mean, this is life and death for her.
Right, the sick people don't get tended to. There were other people that were complaining about a certain little nuances, and I'm going like, man, you know, can't you just look? The Kennedy rule ought to be in effect here. Just take the W. You got a film made about a canonized Catholic saint that people that aren't Catholics are going to and are really, really enjoying and are writing rave reviews about it. Folks, this is the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Radio Network. Welcome all of you back who are listening at 1010 WXKG, 1010 The King in Atlanta. So we're talking with Mike Parrott, one of the producers who you won't see in the credits for the film Cabrini. Let's also talk about something else that I heard you talk about. You said if a young man came to you today and said, I want to get into filmmaking and I'm going to make the greatest Catholic films ever made. I'm going to be a Catholic filmmaker. You would tell him, don't waste your time or your money or don't do that.
I would. Yeah, I would say generally speaking,
most people
who say that they have a calling for Hollywood really don't. What they are experiencing is an instinct for, you know, the glory, the earthly glory, the fame, the pride, the money, the whatever. It's usually not completely and purely animated by a love for the art, nor is it, I want to clean up a really dirty system. The other reason, and probably this is the more important reason, Mike, is that every single thing you've ever heard about Hollywood is probably true, but in spades. So in terms of the abuse of children, the sick culture of it, the prevalence of disorders and perversions of all kinds, and the fact that you just cannot survive in that system without on some level, in some way, making a compromise with the systems of control that are at various levels of the production. I say that because most people don't think about the building and distribution of the product, okay,
yep.
which is a film. So you have to, first of all, you have to have a producer who can assemble the right talent to even just get the thing funded and written. So you've got to have the writer. And the writer sees everything through the lens of the writer. This is all pre-production. This is a certain batch of money. It's high risk. Then you go into production. That's a separate batch of money from the pre-production. So the pre-production usually gets paid off at the production. Then the production, you take production risk. You got 400 people working on the film. It's a very unionized system. A lot of members of the union are not our friends. And then you've got the post-production, the editing and all that. That's oftentimes a third batch of money. Then there's the fourth batch of money, which is the marketing and distribution. And in this case, Angel Studios did the marketing and distribution. They had nothing to do with the writing, the production, or the post-production, the editing of the film. And so... because of all the hands in the cookie jar, you always have to pass through the lens of Hollywood in some way. There's no way to independently do it and get it to a movie theater without somebody making a compromise somewhere down the line. And I'm not sure that that's a good way to live.
When I heard you say that during that interview, I commented on it the next day, and perhaps maybe people missed it. I'm sure most people did. But I commented on it the next day. I'm like, no, you, this kind of applies here to the radio end of the media business as well. Mm-hmm. What you should aspire to do, and I said, one of the most successful and brilliant filmmakers of the 20th century is a Catholic Irishman who was as devout as any of you are. His name was John Ford. People won't even know about this. Joe Doyle comes on here and praises John Ford. You all love John Ford movies. Did John Ford make movies about Catholics? Well, he might have, but no, he didn't set out to do that. He set out to make the best movies, and he let his formation guide him, right? This is what you do. Which is why we do certain things here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Radio Network. We let our formation guide us. We don't set out to come out and teach people catechism or to club people over the head. You're not doing this right. You're not doing that. No. There are plenty of wannabes out there that do that. We just try to make the best radio shows that people want to listen to. And let our formation guide us. I think that's a far better and more peaceful way to do this than going out there to try and force feed the faith to people, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you are a great radio host because you're a great radio host and also you're Catholic. So you're not doing Catholic radio. You are a Catholic man who does radio.
There you go.
It's a huge distinction. And I think we're missing that in Hollywood. We need people who are Catholic men and women who are also storytellers, but not people who say, oh, I'm going to go tell Catholic stories, you know, because at that point, nobody wants to hear a Catholic story. Nobody wants to be preached to. This is what like God's Not Dead does and stuff. And nobody wants to watch that. And it's garbage.
It is. That's a terrible example or a great one, depending on whose side you're on. The God's Not Dead. Yeah, we know that. Next. And so much of what happens, folks. I mean, it happens for purely prurient clicks, likes, thumbs up reasons. Doesn't happen for, I'm going to give you a prime example. I'm not even going to mention her name, but she's very famous. She's very pro-life, and she has a video out on Twitter today that our mutual friend, the Nigerian trad, or James the Catholic, both of us watched the same video and rolled our eyes and went, I wondered how a highly edited jump cut version of Christ the King might look. Now I know. Squeezed into a minute and 10 seconds so Instagram people could get it. And it's cheesy. Forced attempts like this. No, tell good stories and take stories that are being told and talk about them and use your Christian formation to explain to people why it's good or why it's bad. This is the secret, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, we are a society that is so more sold to, more products, more advertising than any human has ever experienced in the history of mankind.
That's right.
And people now are very attuned to when they're being pitched, when they're being sold, when they're being manipulated. And I think people's radar is finely attuned right now. And so if you are going to try to do that in a film and, this is why you go woke, you go broke. It's the same reason. People are like, look, I just want to watch football or I just want to watch whatever it is. And don't try to sell me on your stupid politics or whatever else. And that is why it's the same thing, but in reverse. Nobody wants to be preached to. Just tell an amazing story. And there are so many of them. And do it, like you said, from the point of view of a person who actually has virtues and ethics and things that they care about, values.
And that will guide you. And it will guide you well. Look, we got to leave it there. We are out of time. Mike Parrott, Parrott Talk, you can find him on the Crusade Radio Network weekdays at 10 to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you, brother. Happy Easter. Blessed Maundy Thursday. And we'll talk to you soon.
Likewise. God bless. Thank you.
Parrott Talk, you can find him on the Crusade Radio Network weekdays at 10 to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. God bless you, brother. Happy Easter. Blessed Maundy Thursday. And we'll talk to you soon.
Likewise. God bless. Thank you.